Starting today through all weekend long, through until Sunday the 11th, up at the Blue Mountain Resort in beautiful Collingwood is the LEMUD FSU Canada Conference. Now, what this is a volunteer-driven Jewish learning experience that began in the UK in 1980, and it inspires Jewish learning globally. Now, LEMUD Canada connects young Jewish adults to their cultural, intellectual, and spiritual heritage. And joining us in the studio is one of the speakers at this conference, Dror Burstein, award-winning Israeli novelist, poet, and translator. Welcome to the program.
Morning.
Good morning.
Now, you're going to give what sounds to me like one of the most interesting talks I've ever heard of. It's it's called A Short History of Hebrew Literature's Hairstyles.
Yes, I was asked to give a talk for about 45 minutes about the history of Hebrew literature, which is, of course, quite impossible because Hebrew literature is very ancient. Exactly. Even modern Hebrew literature is 120 years old. Mm-hmm. So I chose to focus on the hairstyles of writers from about the year 1900 until today. And what I've realized that you don't really have to know Hebrew in order to know how Hebrew literature was changed. If you only pay attention to the changes of style in the way that writers and poets were looked like, for example, 120 years ago and today, and it changes almost every 10 years immensely.
Right. Sure. But how did you come up with this? I mean, it just seems like, wow, how did you make this correlation?
Yeah, I read many years ago an article by a sociologist in Israel called Oz Almog, I think, and he made a sociologist research about hairstyles in general in Hebrew culture. Mm-hmm. So I just applied that to the field of literature.
And is that because hair is so symbolic, it's much more symbolic in your culture?
It's symbolic in every culture, I think. Yeah. But yes, you're perfectly right, because it starts with the Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the Bible, a Jew male, shouldn't cut his side locks, for example, and should raise beard. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't do that, that's a statement. I mean, that's a cultural and religious statement. And what you can see in the history of hairstyles is that it started with men that looked exactly like the Bible wished them to look, with side locks and beard, and the head should be covered. And slowly, little by little, they try to offense that. And so they uncover their head at first, and then they cut the beard, and so on and so forth.
And do women also, some women, wear wigs, have to wear wigs?
They have to cover their hair after marriage.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the same thing about women.
Uh-huh.
If the hair is uncovered, if the hair, for example, of a woman is very short, it's, compared to the women of 200 years ago in Jewish culture, it sounds like a very outrageous look. So it's interesting, because what's interesting for me in hair is that no matter what you do with your hair, it says something about yourself. Even if you don't have any hair, or if you have it arranged in some particular way. So you can always at least interpret the hair of someone compared to the hairstyle of his own generation and to the hairstyle of the previous generation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say you go from 1900 on, so when you reach a period, and I'm just speculating here, of like the late 60s, 1970s, when, you know, people let their hair grow long, and, you know, it was obviously maybe a freeing up of culture, and is that reflected in the literature itself?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, yes. You can see that, there are many Israeli authors, I'm talking about males right now, who arrange their hair like Elvis Presley, for example.
Okay.
Like big forelock pulled to the back with some oily substance.
Right.
And you can see that reflected in the style of literature, because it reflects an influence of American culture on Hebrew culture in general.
Right.
It can be very specific. For example, the influence of authors, specific authors like Hemingway,
right.
and Sherwood Anderson, for example, mm-hmm. on the style and on the themes of Israeli authors. So, yes.
Can you, and this is another wild stab, but can you take your theory and apply it to non-Israeli Jewish writers?
No, I don't think I can.
No, I don't think so either.
No, because you have to have a lot of context.
Sure,
in order to make an observation about that. I mean, for example, if I look at you both, I can't say anything about the way you look, or because you're, if I will, it will be comparing you to people I know from Tel Aviv, which mm-hmm. is absurd, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the answer is no.
Well, I'm just losing my hair, so you don't have to worry about that. Another great thing that's happening, you have a new book being released this month, translated from Hebrew, called Muck, and it's a novel. Am I correct in that?
Yes, it is.
Can you give us a little bit of background? I haven't read it, so I don't
yeah,
know.
You couldn't have read it because it's not yet published.
It's not yet published.
Yes, it will be published on Tuesday.
Oh, that's very...
Yes.
So are you going to be sticking around and doing some press?
No, I'm going. I'm heading to New York, and there will be the publisher is from New York, so mm-hmm. I will be there on Tuesday, and there is an event on. If anybody here listening to us and
I'm sure there will be
in Brooklyn on November, I'll be there. It's a retelling, a rewriting of the Book of Jeremiah from the Bible, mm-hmm. Placed in contemporary Israel, in modern day Israel. But on the one hand, and on the other hand, it takes place on the real, actual historical time of Jeremiah, which is about 600 BCE. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of a combination of two times in the novel. Mm-hmm. The place is the same place because Jerusalem was the location of the Book of Jeremiah originally, and that's about it.
What what's the literary scene like in Israel? It's a small country, but it has such a huge cultural impact on the rest of the world.
Do you think so? I'm not so sure about that.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
All right.
I think that most of the most important thing written in Hebrew today are not being translated to any language.
Okay. I guess I meant just Jewish culture in general.
Yes, could be. It's really difficult to say because mm-hmm. there are so many different styles, like hairstyles, in Israel today. But I think that Israel basically is part of a global scene of literature that is being changed partly because of some information of knowledge that and knowledge that we have about the world because of the internet, mm-hmm. to put it very mm-hmm. simply.
Yeah.
It's not just the information, but the structure of thinking that has something to do with the structure of information that you can attain very easily and move on to other things,
right.
For example. So in this sense, Israel is really part of the entire Western world.
Right.
Better and worse, of course.
Of course. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming
in
today.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Good luck
me.
On the publication of your novel, mm-hmm. and best of luck at the conference this weekend.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to Dror Burstein, Israeli novelist, award-winning Israeli novelist, poet, and translator. He is one of the guest speakers at the Limud FSU Canada Conference. It starts today, goes all weekend long, up at the Blue Mountain Resort in Collingwood. If you want to get more information, you can go check out the website, which is www.limud.fsucanada.org.